morning, everyone. I'm very glad this session is dedicated to Steve Levin. He was one of my early mentors when I was in my master's program at Hunter. He's actually one of the ones that got me hooked on asbestos. And I learned a lot from him. And I just want to say thank you to Mary Miller for doing the work. I'm going to try to work on that shrug, like, okay, now we just keep going. That's really handy. So I'm Cora Roloffs. This is Dr. Vishal Chin, who I've been working with at CMAA. This is us on his program, which is not called Between Two Ferns. It's sort of sitting aside of a different kind of plastic plant. Vishal hosts the CMAA weekly Cambodian language program in Lowell, and there's a lot of Cambodian language radio and television in Lowell that Vishal's very involved with. So this was us talking about, very early on in the project, talking to the community. We had several sort of bringing it up in television and radio to talk about the project with the community. The Cambodian refugee community are not big readers, and so this is really the main way of communicating through ethnic media with the community there. We developed this presentation together, and I asked Vishal what he wanted to present, and he started giving me these Cambodian proverbs about too many cooks, and I said, fine, I'll do it. So we don't have relationships here. So I'm going to tell you about this. We're not presenting. We're giving you some theories built on some early results we have from our key informant interviews, but this is mostly sort of setting the stage and sharing our excitement about this partnership and some of the early partnership lessons from doing this. So we're sort of early on in doing this. So this is how it came to be. I'm a member of the property committee of my Unitarian Church in Boston. And so when I go in the church and I see that the basement is filled with asbestos, I say we have to do something about this. And they say it's too expensive. I said, let's get some bids. The bids were not that expensive. We got it done. And in the process, I learned that the workers were all Cambodian. And I was kind of just astonished at this, that Cambodian refugees were working is pulling toxic asbestos out of church basements. That got into my head. I have several projects I've worked on working with immigrant and refugee workers. And then also I have this asbestos legacy. I knew this project would happen sometime where we would find out the experience of Cambodian Americans working in asbestos abatement. Years passed and a bit of leftover money became available to apply to this project, and I met the right people, I was able to form this partnership with the Cambodian Mutual Assistance Association. This is a picture from our training session that we had this summer where we did our discussion about how we were going to consent human participants in our project, how questions should be phrased on the developing the instruments, and learning more from each other about how we might undertake this project together. So that was from there to there. CMAA has just celebrated its 30th anniversary. Cambodians began arriving from refugee camps and other parts of the United States where they had been settled in the early 80s. And CMAA was established early on in Lowell. They've just cut the ribbon on a new community center in Lowell. They offer many types of classes for the community in computers, and Vishal offers this health promotion classes to support the community. So that's just an ad there from a local food store advertising. If you go in the store, there's a lot of fried, greasy things, but you can go to Vishal's class and learn how to manage your diabetes, so that's how it works. So many of you know that Lowell's an industrial city. Immigrants have always come there to work at jobs, whether or not they spoke English or had other job history, any employment history. They were able to come to Lowell and work in the factories. Now it's much harder. It's much harder. Lowell's still there. But the jobs for people with limited English skills who don't have a job history, very limited. So that's why we have asbestos abatement in part. But the community is transforming and has been over the past 30 years. There's tremendous, as we're talking about media and small businesses, response to tragedies such as the Branch Street fire that happened this year where seven members of the community and the very aging infrastructure of Lowell were killed. And new rising political representation with the election of the first Cambodian American to the state legislature. So we knew in doing this project that it would be necessary to really understand the community perspectives on health and religion and cultural attitudes about health. We did have a key informant interview with a monk in the temple. That's one of the temples outside an inn in the kitchen garden at the temple where they prepare food. Community has a lot of health issues, diabetes, experience of trauma, alcohol, smoking. And they also have a lot of health resources, but not much, including the Metta Health Center, which is this here. It's one of the few East-West health clinics in the country, and serving the Cambodian community and other refugee communities in Lowell. But not a lot of perspective or experience with preventive health or even accessing health services at all. So you're going to do something, a project that's about health in a community that, to start with, doesn't have like this, well, as I say later, they're not complainers. So little background on asbestos abatement. Many of you know these things. Asbestos linked to disease a long time ago. Regulated since 1970, heavily regulated since 1986, with lots of revisions at the state and at the federal level. There are both environmental health rules around asbestos as well as occupational health rules that fill in the gaps of the federal standard. There's a lot of requirements around training and certification, permitting, work practices, of course, PPE, monitoring. There's a massive regulatory, it's lots of instructions, right? And then also we had a lot of asbestos abatement, removing this hazardous material from buildings starting in the 80s because funding, federal funding for removing it from schools that really gave birth to the abatement industry, which continues today, not in as strong a force as it did, but it definitely continues. However, now it's very competitive, and you can imagine the conditions that may create. So what we've learned, and we need to get more information about this, is that Cambodians were recruited early on to become abatement workers through temp agencies. And then once there were some in the agencies, they then recruited others to work. And I got this from contractors who initially were recruiting Cambodians. One statement was, yeah, I recruited the local guys, but they didn't have the work ethic that the Cambodians said, so now I only hire Cambodians because they don't mind hot, humid work with toxic. Okay, you get it. It's very good money, and it's one of the main sources of wage employment for Cambodians in Lowell. I'll just skip over this because this will be obvious. Well, not that one, but what we've been doing in the project to begin with is a lot of this mutual education about asbestos and about the community, about building support as well in the community for the project and finding out if there's support for the project in the community, as well as in my university community, building some funding and support for it, designing the instruments, doing the interviews and developing the survey, addressing early challenges and coming up with some theories of what we think is going on, as well as planning for action. So we've done these interviews, and we've developed a work history exposure protection symptom questionnaire that we plan to survey at least 100 Cambodians who have worked in asbestos abatement over the years. We're in the midst of the pilot for that to refine this more than 50-question interviewer-assisted survey. We're planning a well-being fair also where we will be able to recruit those who report symptoms to do spirometry, lung function testing, and to find out if we if there's a clinical component that we can take this in. We have human participants approval and these small amount of funds to do this to support the participation of the partners. So this is just a snapshot from our Cambodian language, the Khmer language survey. It's an interviewer-assisted survey, but we have written it in Khmer as well. And this is Visal consenting, the monk in the temple. We had a wonderful Dharma talk on wage theft and working conditions, as well as learned a lot about perspectives on health and the community. We've talked to a lot of health workers, to the regulators at the state and the federal level. We've talked to a Cambodian contractor, and a contractor employs Cambodians. So We've learned a lot from that experience. Some of the things we're looking at in this project going in, assessing it moving forward, is our limited resources but high commitment, very good elements of a partnership. The Lowell Cambodian context, there's nothing that I can say in 2 minutes that will explain this immense thing, but these are some things that really are very important to know in moving forward in a project like this. The tremendous economic vulnerability that the community experiences, and the way that anything that's perceived as potentially threatening a main source of wage income is going to be, has to be handled very carefully. There's, in general, distrust and suspicion. It's in the community, based on experiences in Cambodia, in the camps, and in Lowell, where experiences of betrayal are woven into the fabric of the community, where expressions of being honest about things was punished, often with death. So honesty can be associated as a sign of weakness, where there's in Lowell now, it's overcome, but there is being overcome, but there are political divisions and religious divisions and all these things that are difficult ground to navigate. As I mentioned about attitudes about health, there's this idea that there's not really a standard of health that people have. They are not either not complainers or consider health to be a high priority. There's also a great deal of stigma around illness, and so it's not a motivating force to go and seek care for a problem because it's viewed as a weakness. And then this background of Buddhism and traditional beliefs, belief in karma, accepting things to some degree, but also challenging things. It's, you know, if you understand Buddhism, you have to understand Buddhism to do this project to some degree. So, but the scientific context is that, and I was very surprised to learn this, there's really no, abatement workers' health has not been studied in the United States. There are a few articles that are sort of simulated. No, it's not possible that asbestos could cause disease in these funded by the, you know, defense firms. But there really is no research here. We have not followed asbestos abatement workers to find out what's happening with them. In Britain, they've done it. I missed it because in PubMed, they don't, I'm not used to searching on the term strippers, but that's what they call them in the UK. So I did find it, and they have been studying the abatement workers in the Great Britain asbestos study, and there's loads of disease in those workers who have been protected, who have been, I don't know how they differ, but that's the context for that. So some of the theories that we're working with, that we will use the data that we get through the surveys and our other research process to illuminate and modify, challenge, that Cambodian refugees have had a variety of asbestos hazard protection experiences. Some have probably been very good. Some have been worse than you can imagine. And a lot of them have been probably, most of them have probably been suboptimal. The rules, which are extensive, as I said, probably will not have prevented disease in these workers. And that's because of systematic gaps in regulatory frameworks and the lack of compliance, the lack of enforcement, and in some ways the conflict in general between getting the work done and this immense regulatory framework. There's, you know, medical surveillance and all kinds of things that in there that are not compatible the way that things are. The economic framework is in direct incompatibility with them. So workers' experience has been different from the rules. Cambodian refugees we believe that they would be especially vulnerable to economic and health exploitation, and this would be because of their experience and because of certain cultural factors, some of the things that I alluded to. However, we know that all immigrants and refugees who would be working in asbestos abatement or in construction and agriculture have many of these similar issues that make them both less likely to be protected and less likely to challenge that lack of protection. We know that that is a universal thing. Another theory here that we're going to work with in terms of being able to change this situation is examining the relationships that can be exist and how they both mediate and can be turned into a in a positive direction. So our economic relationships, the civic relationships, and the personal relationships, and all of these factors can be acted on as our control strategy to protect Cambodian refugees in asbestos abatement. So just some early partnership lessons. We are building trust and rapport. That's what you do in a partnership project. We are not lying to please each other. we are engaging in a lot of conversation. We are continuing to assess community interest and commitment. In general, collaboration, of course, is more than providing translation services and literacy and dissemination of findings. It's really about the project, the partnership is simultaneous interpretation of everything all along the way and role sharing, not you're the community partner, so you get to, you know, translate, and I'm the science partner, so I get to write the instrument. We're doing everything together there. So what we need to do and what we know at this point is add more street worker SAGE, more community involvement, more depth to the project, more momentum and connections, and build more momentum in the project, basically. We also need to build more into our time frame and our expectations in all partnership projects. You have to build more time into this feasibility challenges and adaptation. There's a good reason why nobody's done this research with abatement workers. It's really hard, but we're determined to do it. So, and we're going to also initiate these responsive programs even before we have the findings. You have to do that in a partnership project. So I'll end with this. Vishal, do you want to explain why this is there?
We have just one more.
Yes. Okay, I think I will say something short. So this is Cora's idea. The analogy of the helicopter researchers can be considered as a helicopter coming down to rescue something, and they will then come back to the community. So Cora's idea is to bring the program after we find some findings that we can implement some intervention into the community. So Cora will not be the helicopter to come and pick up the data and then leave us alone. Thank you.
I'll never leave you alone. I can't leave Lowell alone. I tried. So. Do you have minutes for questions? Yes.
In terms of the medical surveillance, you mentioned spirometry and not an X-ray component. Is that because of cost or because it's too invasive, or do you have plans to try and do X-rays which may reveal exposure perhaps even better than spirometry?
I think there's a lot to there's a lot of steps prior to getting to that point. I think that we thought of the spirometry as being initially a less invasive and entry point, and that might, if we can pull that off, that we can then see where that would go. And I mean, I would like to have a national abatement worker project. I mean, we need to do that, I think, and we need X-rays and spirometry on all abatement workers. You know, it should be happening through medical surveillance, but I just don't think it is. I mean, we can find out, but... Yes, Chuck? I think what I've seen mostly is they do tend to specialize, but between lead and asbestos in Massachusetts, it seemed like they did. But, yes. Tish, do you have other information?
No, I don't know. I just wanted to know if you know if the enemy readily certified or registered.
They are. We got the list. We had to do special. They wouldn't give it to us. They wouldn't give us addresses or anything like that. They're protecting their identities. But we did get their names, and there's loads of Cambodian names in there, as well as probably all the workers that work without registration. So I think they really are, they're definitely a part, they're Cambodian, they're loads of Cambodian, at this point, they're Cambodian contractors, for sure, as well. And so, yeah. Is there another question?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.